This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. To the best of my knowledge, no one has yet used the phrase the Trump Doctrine. But if there is one, some unambiguous statement about Trump's policy resounding in world capitals right now, it almost certainly is this proclamation from the president's inaugural speech.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first.
America first, a phrase with a unique resonance in American history, one which harkens back to a time before the bombing of Pearl Harbor, when Americans wrestled with the question of whether to get involved in a war that would change the destiny of the world. Charles Lindbergh, the famous celebrity aviator, was then at the forefront of the national debate, a debate that would lead to a full-blown movement.
And I have been forced to the conclusion that we cannot win this war for England, regardless of how much assistance we send. That is why the America First Committee has been formed.
The use of the phrase America First wasn't lost on Susan Dunn, who teaches American political history at Williams College. In a piece for CNN.com, Dunn questions why the president has chosen to brand his foreign policy with what she describes as a sulfurous label from America's past. Professor, welcome to the Texas Standard.
It's great to be with you, David.
As someone who studies history, did the America First line perk your ears up a bit?
It absolutely did, because it has a nasty history. When it was founded in 1940, just at the time that Hitler was crushing all of the democracies of Western Europe, the America First movement was started to keep America isolated from the war. And that had devastating consequences.
How did it get, at least among historians, a reputation as tinged with anti-Semitism? Was it merely that these were people who did not want to get involved with fighting the Third Reich?
Well, Fred, let me give you a kind of list of all the different strands that were cobbled together in America First. First of all, there were some people who were well-meaning, and they simply were scarred by the memories of World War I. They didn't want to go into another war. Then there were others, like Charles Lindbergh, who felt that the United States was so isolated and safe because we were surrounded by two vast oceans that we were in no danger of war, of attack, and we shouldn't therefore participate. We were safe. There were others who were defeatists, and who believed that Germany was unstoppable. And Charles Lindbergh, who had spent some time in Germany, also was very impressed by German modernism and technology. So he was one of that defeatist group.
Mm-hmm.
There were others, like Joe Kennedy, John Kennedy's father, who believed that if we went into war, it would raise taxes. And there were others who said that democracy is fragile and it couldn't survive another war. And then there were anti-Semites who felt that the Jews in the United States had a lot of influence. Lindbergh made great speeches about that, and that the Jews were pushing the United States into war. They were the heads of Hollywood studios and owned newspapers. So they, as well as the British, were pushing the United States into the war. The most interesting group are the ones who were pro-fascist. And Charles Lindbergh's wife, Anne Morrow Lindbergh, was a wonderful writer, and she published a book in the fall of 1940, just when America First was being founded.
Mm-hmm.
The title of her book is The Wave of the Future, and she argues that the wave of the future is fascism. And she says that democracy is old-fashioned, it's the past, and the future is dynamic fascism, that it's modern, it's energetic.
Mm-hmm.
And a democracy is just an old-fashioned 18th century invention, and its time has passed.
In your opinion piece, you ask why the president, in your words, poisoned his speech with an expression reminiscent of one of the ugliest chapters in recent American history. You think the phrase is unusable, that it's tainted?
Well, I think it is, but one would only know that if one is acquainted with that history. And my students, for example, are not acquainted with that history. It's a long time ago.
Should it matter then?
Well, I think history does matter, and Americans should be aware of their history and the reasons why we fought for World War II against Nazi gangsters who wanted to take over the whole planet and who represented the opposite of any semblance of Judeo-Christian morality and tolerance that America is founded on, Enlightenment values of due process and freedom under law, etc. I think we should be aware of American history and not use expressions that are so toxic and tainted by all kinds of prejudice and ignorance. The United States wasn't safe from attack, and we had a global responsibility, and especially when Great Britain, in 1940, Great Britain is being attacked every night by the Nazi Air Force, and its cities, its ports, its industrial centers are being bombed. And that was also a very important strand in our preparations for war, that we needed Great Britain to help protect us and protect the Atlantic Ocean with their powerful navy. It is a complex picture, but I would personally advise people not to use the expression America first in any positive way, because the resonances are so negative.
Susan Dunn teaches American political history at Williams College. She is the author of 1940, FDR, Wilkie, Lindbergh, Hitler, The Election Amid the Storm. Dr. Dunn, thank you very much for speaking with the Texas Standard.
Oh, you're so welcome, David.